when you are so down, I think it's time to be a little bit honest and to say clearly the referees are afraid to give decisions for Chelsea.
Wolves is coming back from offside position, but Shane Long was definitely onside. Shane Long has done it! A good night for Ireland might just be turning into a great night for Ireland!
Hello and welcome to Where Is The Shout? I'm Mark Carlow, joined by Zachary Stevenson.
Hello.
And Rob Brunsman.
Hello.
This is the first time we've sat round together for a little while, so it's quite exciting.
It's always been weird.
It's quite a while.
The washing line has moved to the other side of the garden.
Yeah, indeed. This week we're going to be talking last week's results. I think then we have to talk about Chelsea and their complete collapse this season.
Mourinho's breakdown.
Jurgen Klopp is now in. International roundup, and also we've got the Super Six
Super
predictions.
Six, yeah. Mm.
So last week, Zach. I mean, we'll just start. You've been away. You've been in America.
Yeah, I was in New York and Washington.
Well, yeah,
I was only in Washington for like 6 hours. But
well, the last time we sat down to the show, it was just me and Rob, and we were talking about you were doing some music out there or something.
Yeah, I had a couple of gigs at the Big Apple.
How was it anyway? Did you have a good
time? It was great. Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah, it was. We saw the Pope Mobile on the way to the second gig as well, which is quite ridiculous. We're just driving through Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And it's a really dingy part of Brooklyn, and this sort of weird vehicle came around the corner and just turned and pulled in front of us. And then we saw all these other like sedans and these other police cars. And we thought, that's the Pope Mobile. The Pope is in one of those cars.
Should have been on a show, mate. That's a bit
I said to the cab driver to try and flag the car down and roll the window down. We get the Pope on stage for us at the gig.
But right.
No, he wasn't up for it. He wasn't up for it, no.
Yeah, he's football mad, apparently.
Is he really?
Yeah, I can't remember what side. He's Argentinian, isn't he? But I can't remember which side.
He doesn't even believe in God anymore, I don't think, does he? I'm pretty sure
if you want to turn this into a sort of theological kind of show, he actually is... said about the Bible that it shouldn't be taken literally,
and he said it's quite old-fashioned. The concept of God.
I mean, it's a pretty radical pope, isn't it?
Mm. I like it.
You know, all they got to do now is compensate all the child abuse victims, and they're laughing.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, I know we can try and avoid it as much as you can now, Zach. We have to talk about last week's result: Arsenal 3, Man United 0. I watched it.
Yeah,
and I thought Arsenal were fantastic. I thought Man United were pretty poor in the first. They were okay in the second half, but first half they were pretty dark. Their positioning was terrible.
Basically, it's like before they realised what the game had started, they were 2-0 down, and then they kind of started to get a little bit of the ball, and then Arsenal scored again. And it's like once it's 3-0, it's like, what do you do? Do you kind of just damage limitation or?
Yeah,
second half they controlled most of the play, but then Arsenal could have scored in the break as well. But yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all.
It's an example of what Arsenal can be like, isn't it?
Yeah, they're a funny team. They are a very funny side.
But if they start well and get going, they can blow anyone away.
Oh god, yeah. They were also. I mean, it wasn't just down to United at all. I think it was a bit of both. I think.
Yeah, I mean they caught United cold, which is the best way to do it, isn't it?
But it was strange because before I had to the game, Van Gaal was saying, this is the game where we show the league that we're title contenders.
Yeah,
so I really was expecting, I mean, I even put money down that you're not going to win that. I thought they were going to win it. I was stunned. They set the ball out just to soak up pressure, didn't they?
And obviously they got blown away straight
away. When I saw the lineup, I thought, that's actually a really good lineup now, you know. But then, I mean, Arsenal just came storming out of the blocks and they scored two goals very quickly and...
Was it something like 6 minutes, I think? They were two up.
Seven minutes, they were two up.
I just don't understand how a big side like Manchester United has tactics just to sort of try and defend and hit them on the break. Because Arsenal, we know what their weak link is.
And it's at the back, in midfield,
where you can get at them. And Man United just decided, well, we're going to come here and we're going to try and soak the pressure up, and they got hit.
Well, they certainly got it wrong. And also, it doesn't really help the fact that that was the game then before the international break, which is a real kick. I mean, all right, I know you can go away, but the last thing you want really is, after a loss, is a big break.
There are two ways of looking at that, I think. Sometimes you want to get back into it straight away and win your next game. But then on the other hand, with the amount of distance, the amount of time has passed since then, you kind of, it's almost forgotten about, and you're starting again. So
it's just another result, isn't it? It's a poor result. But
but to be fair, they're not having a bad season. They're up there, you know. I mean, started well. There's no say about it.
Still only 2 points off the top after 9 games and like 10 points ahead of Chelsea.
Whoever wins this league, by the looks of it, is going to be one of the lowest totals in points.
It's funny. It's going to be a really bizarre title race this season.
I think there could be 6 defeats, and you could still win it.
I mean, if you go into the other game, Man City, because they've had they started against West Ham, wasn't it, a couple of weeks prior to last week's game?
Then Tottenham.
Then Tottenham 4-1. So to beat Newcastle 6-1,
and after they were one behind.
Yeah, 1-0 down. And I think it was 1-0 at half time as well.
They could have been 3-0 down at one stage because Newcastle has a few chances, and Harrit made a couple of saves. And
I see the career ender of that job, the Newcastle job, is starting to set in already for McLaren. What a disastrous club that
is. I thought the start of the season that McLaren could sort out, and I still think he can. I think it's really still early.
We all said that, didn't we?
As long as Newcastle, the board, don't, you know, make a knee-jerk decision to get rid of him straight away, because that's what they tend to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you need stability. You need someone there for a long time to sort out the problems, and there's no quick fix, Newcastle. I think McLaren can get them to mid-table. I honestly do. I'm not a Newcastle supporter, but I know
some people in Newcastle.
I do,
I mean, friends all over.
Our friend Ronnie, who joined us recently, he's a Newcastle supporter.
That was a good show.
Have they been that bad, Newcastle? Have they just not got the results? Have they been awful? I mean, obviously, they're
second from bottom, aren't they? Or they're bottom, I think, now, aren't they?
They've only won one league game out of the last 18.
Yeah,
which is an average of 2 wins a season, isn't it? So
it's horrendous, isn't it?
That's relegation.
They've got some decent players.
They have.
It's a good signing.
They're a totally unbalanced team. I mean, when West Ham played them, I'm not talking about West Ham on time, but when I watched that game when we played them at home, we beat them
2-0.
I mean, it should have been a lot more. They were really poor, Newcastle. I mean, they passed the ball around okay, but they had nothing going forward.
There's just no confidence there, is there?
Well, Mitrovic didn't play that game against us because he's suspended. I mean, I think he's quite a player, actually.
Yeah.
When he settles in, he got the goal, didn't he, against City?
I think they're going to struggle this season. I think they're going to be in a battle this season. Stay up. I mean, I quite like McLaren really as a bloke. I think it'd be good for him to have a bit of luck for once in a while. Maybe luck, but you know,
long way to go.
Yeah, indeed. And also, just talking about another relegation favourite of mine, Villa. I still think they're going to go, and I think the season's already proven it. I think they look rubbish.
No goals. No goals in the side. So who's going to score their goals? Akpan Alor isn't going to get.
Who's
the other guy that signed? Ayew. He looks like he's a bit lightweight, not ready for this league. So I don't know who else they've got. And that's what it comes down to, doesn't it? If you haven't got anyone who's going to score your goals.
That's it, And I see Sherwood's already coming out with the excuses. He's trying to get him in early. He's saying already that the problem they've got is that they've got too many new players and it's going to take them too long to gel, and that's probably going to result in their relegation. You think, well, that's already, you're already trying to put the excuses in my opinion.
But it begs the question, if you think you've got too many new players, they didn't have a massive clear-up. Why did you buy so many players then? You should have faith in the guys that are there, and, you know, although they didn't do that well last season, but they needed some.
They're due a relegation.
You can't buy a lot of players and then complain that you've got too many new players, can you? It's a bit of a stupid excuse. But
don't you think that they're that club that's kind of due relegation? They've been flirting with it for a good few years
massive
now.
Massive club, never, though.
They've been due a top four place for the last 15 years, but I mean, it hasn't happened, has it?
They've gradually sold their best players year after year or every 2 years, and now they're in this situation where Benteke is the last of their top players to go.
Yeah.
We've got Grealish still, top young player, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Benteke's gone, and now you're wondering. Zach's not too happy, Grealish.
Your best mate, Grealish.
He might actually jump ship again, because now we could qualify.
You know what I was thinking? That we'll talk about it later. But I was thinking Grealish could do that. Jump ship again.
He might do a Delph.
Yeah, brilliant.
But yeah, Villa, they didn't replace Benteke. They sold him, and they've brought in a couple of strikers, but they don't look good enough.
But what top striker wants to go to Aston Villa? That's part of the problem, isn't it? You know.
Well, I think they were in for Austin, weren't they? They should have gone for Austin. They didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like Newcastle. Why
would
they
have scored goals?
He's already a top scorer in the Championship.
15 million for him.
He's already a top scorer in the Championship. He's got something like 9 goals a season.
He's injured now, actually.
Yeah, I think you're right. Actually, that's true.
Maybe he didn't want to go to Villa.
Well, I wouldn't blame him, to be honest. I don't think they're. Yeah, they look like a team's going to
struggle. So Villa looked nailed on for relegation then.
They're gone. No, I don't think they're gone.
Still a chance, a lot of football to be played.
I mean, 3 weeks ago, the media was saying the title's over.
And we were
talking about Man City going to run away with it, and what's happened the last couple of weeks.
So, you know, talking about other games though, last week, we have to talk about the Chelsea game.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know what's going on at Chelsea. There's something seriously wrong. I think my opinion is that it's Mourinho related. I think
my housemate Mike, who's been on here on the show before, his theory is that, and I go along with it, the Eva Canhiero situation, that there's actually a lot more to that than meets the eye. That I think the players probably feel a sense of loyalty to her, and they're now disgruntled with Mourinho over the whole thing, and he didn't handle it well. He was too stubborn about it.
Yeah.
If he just came out the next day and said, look, I'm sorry, I was wrong, she was right to go on the pitch and treat the injured player.
He had no argument. Yeah. So he did no argument.
I think he's spot on there, I think that's exactly what's happened. You've got to remember, you know, these players have wives as well.
Mm.
This woman's be treated like
the
this.
Wags.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, they're probably upset about it as well, and I think it's sort of filtered down.
And then
down
you get into
results.
You get into a vicious circle when the result goes against you, and the players, they lose confidence, and then they lose the next match. And
I
then
think
it's
as well,
a spiral, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, I don't even think it's maybe even towards the loyalty of her. I think it's the loss of probably respect for the man.
Well, yeah, but I think my point is that it's created a vicious circle of and a spiral that was the sort of, you know, origin, the genesis of that scenario. And then things have gone badly as a result of that, and they've just been exacerbated by results, and so it's hard to get out of.
I don't think it's just that one incident. I think he's been going over the top for quite a while now.
Let's look at
about
a few things. I want to mention a few things. It's obviously we've got the Dr. Rao, which we've said. You've then got the way he talks about Wenger publicly, continually slating the bloke for no real reason other than...
He said a go at Ranieri a couple of days ago as well. Ridiculed his English and stuff. He said... He's been for 5 years. He can only say good morning and good afternoon.
That's above the line. Yeah,
it's like, why is he getting so involved?
Referees as well. Really, sort of saying referees. There's a gender against Chelsea.
That was ridiculous. I mean,
especially in that particular match when he was going mental. He had a 7 minute breakdown about how they should have got a penalty, when actually their penalty was probably the weakest shout of the three penalty shouts.
Yeah,
because Southampton should have had two penalties in that game. Yeah,
he's an idiot. I mean, isn't he? The things he comes out with, it's like, I mean, he's clearly under pressure. I mean, I like Mourinho. I've always, you know,
as a character,
I've said it
him, yeah.
before.
But I think he's let himself down. I've lost a little bit of respect for him.
I've
this
said
season.
It before. He likes to create the siege mentality, right? He likes to sort of take all the pressure off the players and put it on himself when it comes to the media. And it's worked for him before, but now the players maybe are starting to think he's going too far.
He's obviously
had a fall out of Terry because he's not in the side.
Yeah, he's apparently had a fall out of Costa.
Terry's a massive
maybe
figure Matic. At Chelsea. Mm.
But I think the siege mentality only really works when you're winning. You know,
because when you're
losing games, you get the siege mentality. It all smacks of desperation, and you know. So
I think he's got to rethink it, hasn't he?
And the other thing as well, which we might have touched on before, is that they didn't strengthen during the summer, really, did they?
They brought a couple of
minor signings in.
Yeah.
Every title-winning side that really goes on to great things next season, they make two big signings each year to freshen the squad up.
And also, the other thing is that he's always been very loyal to his top players. He's seen a player like Ivanovic, you know, play as well as he has done over the last 2-3 years, he will stick by that player. Mm. And at the moment, Ivanovic has been so bad throughout the whole season. I don't know why,
because he's
a superb player.
Oh.
Yeah.
But he's been that bad that he's got to drop him. And again against Southampton, that defeat, Mane just tore him to ribbons, didn't he, again?
And you know, you touched already on John Terry. He was instrumental last season in their winning the league. He was such a top player for them. Oh, I know he's a bit older. I understand that you do want to replace him, but why has he not been playing it?
Well,
he needs to play now.
I mean, look at him there. That's the challenge. You've got to bring your captain and your leader back.
The thing about dropping Ivanovic is that, you know, sometimes you think, oh, you've got to stick by your players, but sometimes the player needs to be dropped.
You need
to go away, reassess,
have a little rethink, and
do a bit of extra work and training, you know, and just
clear your head a little bit.
Like Joe Hart last year.
Yeah, it does work.
Bad games. They dropped him for about a month and brought him back.
We did it with Ogbonna, didn't we? Village did it with Ogbonna. He just started for us, and he was having a horror game. He put him off before half time.
Yeah.
And everyone went, oh, what's going to do for his confidence? He came back in the next game and he was fine.
So,
you know,
I mean, especially
sometimes they need it.
Especially now they bought this left back, Baba Rahman, is it? He cost £16 million. He's meant to be, I've never seen him, he's meant to be one of the best left backs in Europe.
Yeah.
So, why is he not in the side? Aspilicueta comes to right back, give Ivanovic a break,
Anyway. So, I mean, so just touching on Mourinho then again, what's your feelings of, do you think he's going to keep his job this season? I mean, do you think there's a chance he could go?
You can never tell anymore, can you? Because, I mean, there's nobody is ever safe, especially when results go badly.
Apart from Wenger.
That's because of Arsenal's lowered expectations over the last 10 years, isn't it?
Mm.
But Yeah, I mean, I think he'll stay in the job unless if they lose the next two games, it could be in big trouble.
Yeah, we've got our predictions coming up.
One thing about Abramovich is that he is ruthless. Mm. But I mean, I'd be surprised if he sacked him before Christmas. I think if they're still sort of struggling.
And also, this
point.
Is a different scenario this time around because Mourinho apparently is creating a dynasty, isn't he? He wants to be, do like a Ferguson now. He wants to be at Chelsea now to really the day he retires. So what's he looking at? Another 20-odd years, 25 years there. And we're in year two.
Maybe not 25 because I think I've been about 80 then.
Yeah, that's a good point. But
if Mourinho wants to do that, if that's really true, then he needs to start bringing through some young players as well.
Mm.
Why is that Loftus-Cheek not playing in a side instead of
a lot of Chelsea fans have been saying that lately, actually, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If he really wants to be, I mean, he's a great manager, there's no doubt about it. He's got a proven record, but everywhere he goes, he just sort of gets, he's always put together a great squad, but always experienced players.
Yes,
and it's going to last 2 or 3 years at the top. And then when he left Inter Milan, he left them, but all those players were just getting over the hill, and there's nothing underneath it.
Yeah.
They really have had to rebuild, and they're just coming back now.
Even when he was at Porto, he had the biggest budget in the Portuguese league, so he was able to buy the best players that they could get, you know.
Exactly, buys the very best that he can possibly get, which is absolutely great, fine, but if you're going to be at a club for 5 to 10 years or more, you've got to have underneath some young players coming through.
Yeah, if he wants to use Ferguson as a benchmark or a guide, that's what Ferguson did. He made the right signings at the right time, but
he
trusted in youth
though.
As well. I mean, look at all the players he brought: Scholes, Neville, Giggs, Beckham.
And you could see with Ferguson, there was always a plan in place. It was always he was planning for the next generation for United all the time. But it doesn't seem that Mourinho's quite doing that.
Well, because you need a lot of guts to bring in a young player for a team that's expected to win things.
I know he tried to get John Stones, but again, that's £30 million signing. It's not an up and coming player. That's already a player that can hit the Premier League run.
Ferguson showed bringing through all those young players in one go, 95. Incredible.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Mourinho needs to do that, but one or two from that youth team that won the under-19s Champions League last year. And
that's what the fans want. They want some local young players that have got to come through the system and the more sort of.
It means something, doesn't it, to see a local lad playing for the team? It does.
I think Loftus-Cheek needs to come in at some point, definitely. Yeah, there's a few games here and there.
So other big news this week was Klopp's coming to Liverpool and replaced Rodgers.
Yeah.
The only way I can see it is that the deal was done before Rodgers was sacked, it seemed, didn't it? Because I think it was inevitable.
I think it was done as early as the time that Klopp decided to leave Dortmund.
Really?
I can't see why he would leave Dortmund for any other reason. I mean, he was loved there and he had a good team, even though they didn't do that well last season, but I think he knew he was going on to something, and maybe even specifically Liverpool. But because it was around the time that Rodgers was starting to get those first signs of that this season hasn't gone well, and then all of a sudden Klopp is leaving Dortmund. It's like, you don't have to be Columbo to figure that one out, do you? You know.
Yeah, although I feel for Rodgers, I think it was right he was let go. I think he's been pretty bad in terms of his signings. That's a lot of money he spent, just under £300 million. And I've got to admit, there's not many you can pick out that'd say have been a success. Because Coutinho is probably the
only
one.
You have to say, though, I mean, I had this conversation the other day as well with Mike, is that when you have a season where you score 100 league goals and you finish literally a hair's breadth away from winning the title, and then the following season your world class striker leaves and then your other top scoring striker is out injured all season, it's pretty hard to do as well the following season. So I think it was inevitable Liverpool wouldn't do well last season.
I think what's happened with him recently, all those things he's been unlucky with, and then the Sterling thing, I mean, they started to pull it back a little bit last year, then you've had the Sterling situation where he's forced to move.
Yeah.
But what's happened this year is that his, I hate that word philosophy actually, but that his style of play seems to have gone. So they really sort of developed this lovely pass and move game, didn't they?
Went
over the last 2 years, and they've looked really good at times. And this year, you don't know what they're trying to do. They bought Benteke, they're not putting the ball in enough to him.
Yeah.
But they are sometimes lumping
it's
it
like,
from
it's like
angles.
He gets thrown a player, and like he did with Balotelli, and like it is now with Benteke, it's like he just gets given a player
Balotelli's
by the ball,
when it went
and
wrong.
He's going, well, they're not for me.
Balotelli's when it totally went wrong, because Balotelli's a top player, but he was totally the wrong player for Liverpool and the style they want to play, where they want to press from the front.
It was a disaster, wasn't it?
They want to press from the front. It was their whole game. with Suarez and Sturridge.
Yeah, but Suarez made things happen. He's a ball chaser. He was like a ball terrier, that's their style. Chase around the pitch. Balotelli doesn't want...
So why don't you buy a player? I mean, you're never going to be able to replace Suarez, but why don't you buy a player in that kind of mould?
That's what I mean, yeah. But that's Balotelli, why I don't get it. Gambled. I'm sorry, there are better players on the planet than Balotelli.
Well, it depends what style of play you're going to play, because you watch him in Italy, he's a different player because he's slower paced, you know? Mm.
But it's hard. I mean, as you say, how do you replace Spurs? Who else do you go for that's available? I mean, now they're talking about the Lewandowski, because Klopp has joined. And, you know, if want to sell, but why would they want to sell a guy who scored 15 goals in the last four games? You know,
I think right now he's the best striker in the world, isn't he?
Yeah, they're not going to get him. I don't even with Klopp there.
He scored a season's worth of goals in 2 weeks. It's mental.
That's brilliant. Yeah, he's been fantastic, I have to admit. But I can't see that happening. I've never seen him going to Liverpool. I don't think he'll leave Bayern Munich at all.
I don't either. I think he'll be there for quite a few years to come.
Yeah, so Klopp then,
unless
he takes
Real
over.
Madrid come in from, you know.
What are we thinking of Klopp? I mean,
great personality.
Really good for the league. You know, we've had a couple of managers.
He's
Billich
a dude, isn't he? You know,
we've had a couple of young blokes now, Billich and Klopp. I think it's nice to get a bit of.
I think there was a JPEG going around yesterday saying. Well, I like to feel at home where I am, so I came to the city and I saw a load of twats walk around in baseball caps and tracksuits, and I felt right at home.
Did he say that?
No, he didn't say it. Somebody made a funny JPEG about it.
I wish he had said that.
No, I love Liverpool's city. I love Liverpool people.
And they're buzzing, aren't they? They're absolutely buzzing about it.
Well, yeah, you would be. Anyone would be, wouldn't you? To have a manager that's kind of personality. Mm. I think that's exactly what they need.
It's a good advert for the league as well, because we've, for the last sort of, I'd say, 10 years, possibly, maybe a bit less than that, we seem to have gone down the pecking order in terms of, you know, the European football leagues. There's certainly the La Liga is now considered the top. And I think we're battling out now with
the Bundesliga.
So it's nice now to get someone like Klopp to choose a Premier League club. I think it's a bit of an advert. We seem to be losing all the best, don't we?
He pretty much has decided to choose the fifth or sixth best team in England over the second best team in Germany, which I think is a bit of a coup for the Premier League, you know.
Mm. Definitely. But he
won't take much to Liverpool massive. It won't take too much to turn him around. I mean, it's going to take a couple of years if he gets the signings right. But
I think I'm sure he'll do all right with Liverpool. But the thing is with these managers, they come in and I don't think they sometimes realise how hard this league is. You know, there's a lot, the differences between the other European leagues to ours, it seems, is that it seems every game you can lose here.
Especially away, I mean, you know what's happened.
This league, the defending has gone to pop. That's what's happened. And that's why English clubs are struggling in Europe at the moment. Because they can't defend. They can't. You watch them. Goals they're giving away every week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. Where they used to be so solid. I mean, you look back when Chelsea won the Champions League. Yeah. Manchester United.
That's a good point. Chelsea, they've definitely lost that.
You know, Vidic, Ferdinand, Cahill when he played with Terry, when they're right at it. Well, last year they were at it, weren't they, at the back?
Yeah, you're right. This season's been bizarre, isn't it, anyway, with results.
And that's the problem. They've got the players in the Premier League to go and win these titles. But
I think Chelsea I think they were already quite close to conceding the amount of goals they conceded all through last season. Well, obviously there's still quite a bit to go, but they're about halfway there, I think, you know.
Oh, do you know what? I mean, we've got their predictions coming up, but I think they've got Villa at home. So imagine they slip up there.
If they lose that one, you could see Mourinho going, couldn't you?
They might say this is unrepairable now. You know, if you're losing, they surely can't lose that game. But I mean, if I was Villa, I'd be going there thinking, towels right up, thinking let's give them a game.
Well, you've got to have a go.
And after that, they got West Ham at Upton Park. Brilliant.
Well, that's 3 points down the Swanee, isn't it? Straight away. But, you know, talking about managerial appointments, we wanted to touch on Sam. Big fat Sam.
By the way, I just noticed there's a kebab shop around the corner from there called Fat Sam.
They're redoing it. They've been redoing it for 3 months.
He's been busy in there, hasn't he?
I thought he'd taken over a chicken shop.
You wouldn't get much profit, though, would you?
Yeah. He eats all the profits.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Kevin Nolan doing his chicken dance.
You know he's going to go Sunderland, don't you? Well, anyway, yeah, so he's gone Sunderland.
You've got to stay up now.
Yeah, he's got to, you know. It probably will keep him up, to be honest. But it's going to be so ugly, isn't it?
Yeah, he'll get that back four sorted out. Mm. And, you know, you've got Fletcher and Defoe that might nick him a goal, so you've got a chance. Yeah. You know?
What's your feelings? Do you reckon Zachary Dierrett and they've got a good chance of staying up now?
I think they'll stay up, yeah. I do. I think Villa, Sunderland and Newcastle will all stay up.
Villa,
yeah.
I really hope I've got a bet on Bournemouth and one other, maybe West Brom, I don't know. But it's a hard to tell this season, isn't it?
All the clubs are looking over their shoulders from about sixth down. I mean, as a West Ham fan, I'm still sort of looking how many points are we above.
Yeah, I'd do that anyway. Yeah. Even if we were top, I'd still be panicking. Exactly. But we're still going to go down. But it's a funny one. But I'm quite pleased for Sam Allardyce, though. I'm glad he stayed in the game because I thought he was going to have a bit of a break for.
I want to see him do well there.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's about. He's about keeping clubs up, stabilising them. That's what he's about, you know. So I think that's a superb appointment for them.
Mm.
No one better to do that job.
And North East, you know, that's where he's from. And he used to play for Sunderland, didn't he, for a season as well.
Did
so,
he?
Yeah.
He
once
did,
upon a time.
He managed Newcastle, didn't he?
Yeah, that'll go down well.
And he managed Limerick City.
Did he really?
A long time ago, yeah. It's the first time I remember hearing his name, actually. He was managing Limerick City. Maybe 28 years ago, but a long time.
Well, good luck to him, really. I hope they do.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see him do a good job there. Also, Premier League aside now, Internationals Week.
Yeah,
it's been quite exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, it's been.
Why? What's happened?
Well, I mean. I just Iceland's 2-2 draw at Latvia.
Yeah, it was a crazy night, wasn't it?
But obviously Ireland beat the world champions Germany.
Yeah.
It was a tough match. After 10 minutes, I thought we were going to be hammered because the last time we played them with Lansdowne, it would have been 6-1, which is one less than Brazil, but still. I really thought, because they were just all over us, and it looked like they could score at will, but then they couldn't get past. The defence was just astonishing, like really, really brilliant. They didn't have that many shots on target. I think the whole game they had about 3 shots on target.
They
had a couple of misses, but Darren Randolph came on, made a couple of nice saves.
Oh.
John O'Shea was a rock as well.
Darren Randolph came on and made the goal, didn't he?
He did.
Quite a great assist. What a goal it was as well.
It was phenomenal. Yeah, really.
And the crowd behind the goal went absolutely crazy.
I think that's what Shane Long is capable of. I think he's a natural goal scorer, and I think he's been shafted a bit in his career. You know, I think maybe the move to Hull was probably the wrong one at the time.
And yeah.
Southampton, he's been unlucky because Pelle has been, you know, kind of
maybe
he's the main
Klopp's
man,
new
there,
man,
isn't he? Yeah.
You know more about the Irish setup than me, but I was surprised to see that he didn't start that game long. But maybe that was the plan.
I think that's the plan, yeah. Because I actually posted on Facebook, is he out of his fucking mind? You know, Daryl Murphy of Ipswich Town. I mean, he's never going to score
a target, man.
But I think the plan was to hold it tight for as long as you can. Bring him on when he's got the pace, and the German players have been playing for an hour and whatever.
Because they looked tired, didn't they?
We could have scored a few more actually towards the end, because the German defence did seem to be sort of tired, which is strange because they didn't have much to do in the match. But the Hummels looked suspect.
Yeah.
I have to say
the left back completely messed up on that goal.
Yeah. Let it bounce.
I mean, it was obviously. Over the years, I've seen us win against big games against Italy, England. I consider that France match where Thierry Henry scored the handball to be a 1-0 win for us. And
yes,
beating Holland.
Yeah,
that was nice. Disgusting.
But,
though,
I mean, after 90 minutes was 1-0.
Glad
so
I went with you that
night. Sorry, that was
1-0. That could have been a violent evening.
It was pretty awful. But yeah, it was great because I think Ireland. I feel a bit jealous about the way everyone's going about Wales lately, because I don't think Wales is that much better than Ireland. I don't think they're better than Ireland in general. I think we're about the same level. And for them,
exactly,
40,
aren't they the best team
in the world according to the world rankings, but on the basis of a win against Belgium at home, really, and a draw away to them.
Since then, they've drawn at home with Israel and lost. In Bosnia.
So I think they'll probably slip down to well into the teens anyway.
Wow.
But I think Ireland will go up a few places. It was a great night, and I think Martin O'Neill.
Yeah, because you're right. Everyone's been talking about Wales in the media, and Ireland's kind of come from nowhere now.
Yeah.
Wales have got a chance
now,
tonight.
Yeah, because I need to understand this now, because I'm going to show my naivety now.
It's a very bizarre scenario. If Poland win, they'll qualify automatically. If it's a 0-0 or a 1-1 draw, Poland will qualify automatically. If it's a 2-2 draw, Ireland win, Ireland will go through, because we'll be on the same number of points, and then it'll go down to head to head, and we'll go down to away goals.
Yeah,
right.
So a 2-2 draw would take us through. So that's.
Now, if you don't get through, if Pioneer get through, then they go into the playoffs.
The playoffs, yeah. Now
so
we
just don't really want.
I looked at it. I thought we had a good chance of getting the best third place team, but apparently the results against the bottom teams doesn't count. So Hungary are pretty nailed on for that best. Best third place team, so we'll be in the playoffs, We could play Holland, I think.
Well, they look like they're gone. Last night, you see the results last night.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't look at the. I saw they beat Kazakhstan, but I don't know what the final sort of scenarios for that, their group.
Looks like you could get someone like Turkey or Sweden would be the nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, I just really hope they get a result tonight. I'd really love to see them. I don't want to have to go through it anymore.
I think we can win. I mean, I know it's like optimistic, but we've just beaten Germany. We're on a high. Poland, apart from Lewandowski, don't have that much to offer really. And if you can just keep Lewandowski quiet, I think you can. You can beat Poland.
Yeah. What time's kick off tonight?
7:45.
I can't wait.
That would be great to have Ireland, Northern Ireland are there now, Wales there, England. That is fantastic.
I've been very curmudgeonly about Wales' progress to 8th in the world rankings, but apart from that, fair dues to them. I mean, they've qualified for the first time in 57 years, and they have a decent team, and they've got a good manager, and they've got a world superstar in Bale, and I hope they do well.
Unless
they're in the same group as us in the finals, but you know, they're in the same group as us in the next World Cup qualifying.
I want to get out there to France.
I think we all should get out there.
I was thinking that. We should have a little chat about going a little trip over there, because my girlfriend's brother, he's going to do a little road trip over there and go for a couple of days and see a couple of games.
I mean,
so
it's on our doorstep.
At least go for one game or something.
But the final word in the internationals, I think Wales' achievement is even probably usurped or surpassed by Northern Ireland's, because who would have seen Northern Ireland qualifying for these championships?
It's unbelievable.
And it's another M. O'Neill manager.
Because they're confirmed now, aren't they?
They beat Greece 3-1.
They're fantastic. I mean, I'm so excited about the Euros.
It's going to be fantastic. Iceland as well. Little Iceland, 250,000 people. It's probably less than the population of Haringey,
They're in a group with Holland, Turkey, and the Czech Republic.
It's unbelievable. Absolutely.
I mean, that's the biggest coup. Look at that ginger cat walking across.
It literally looks like a tiger.
It looks like a tiger, doesn't it?
He's
not afraid, though, is he?
He's not afraid. Just let you know, everyone, there's cats.
Our little black and white cat is attacking a massive cat. territorial dispute.
I have missed this garden completely. Anyway, so yeah, we're happy with that.
I'm very happy for Northern Ireland and Wales, and hopefully by 10 o'clock tonight it'll be
poor old Scotland. People left out, aren't they?
I actually felt really bad, because at one point in the game when Ireland were drawing nil with Germany and Poland were winning, Poland were losing to Scotland, they were saying, come on Poland, please score, because then if we'd drawn with Germany and drawn Poland, we'd go out altogether, because if Scotland had beaten Gibraltar, they would have gone past us. So and then once we'd beaten Germany, it would have been okay if Scotland had still beaten Poland, but
unfortunately the Scots.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice if all five countries had gone through, wouldn't it? It would have been amazing, but not going to happen.
No, probably not. Right, gents, it's time. Super 6. Now, ever the professional, I didn't bring my notepad with me, so I don't know what the scores were last time.
So I know them up.
Yeah, so next week we'll tally this up. But I know that Zach's bottom. It's all very tight, though. Rob's second, I'm first, but it's all literally within a couple of points, so it's pretty tight. Next week we'll go through the previous results. This week, starting things off with Chelsea versus Aston Villa. Now, I really, really want to see Villa win this, even though, like, Tim Sherwood is a bit of a knob.
He's your nemesis.
I actually quite like him. I actually do, but he
seems like an all right lad. Do you know what I mean?
He's one of those people. I think just fallen into that job, and in the Premier League, he did the Spurs, and then seems to act like he's some. Oh, I'm an experienced Premier League manager. I deserve to be.
I reckon if you sat in the pub having a pint with him, you'd probably get on well. You know,
probably would. Me and Tim.
He likes a pint, doesn't he?
He loves himself too much for me to get on with him.
Well, the players haven't gelled yet, and that's the reason we'll go down. Not because of me, because I'm a genius. He needs like a lower league job. That's my opinion. He shouldn't be in the Premier League. Well, there you go. They'll go down.
Something better, Spurs.
yeah, indeed. Chelsea Villa. Right, I'm going to start us off. I think I've got to go with a Chelsea win. I think they're going to turn it around. I think they're going to whack Villa. I think it's going to be 3-0. To Chelsea. Zachary, what are you thinking?
I think Chelsea is still in trouble. I'm going to go for 1-1.
Are you really? That'd be great.
Yeah, like I was saying before, I can't see how Villa are going to score a goal, especially against a team
it's
like
quite
Chelsea.
Handy, isn't it, to be able to score
a goal? It'd
be
an own goal by Ivanovic, you know?
And what I think Sherwood, knowing sort of the way he manages, he'll go there and he'll have a right go at them, but he just won't have like anyone put the ball in the net for him. He'll leave loads of spaces at the back, get absolutely hammered 3 or 4. So I'm going to go 3-0.
Really? Oh, really? Is that what you think?
I'm going to go the same.
3-0. 3-0. Okay, fair enough. Zach, you start this one. This is Crystal Palace, West Ham. Quite a quite a funny
Palace
one.
Palace are in what, third?
Yeah, it's a really good start.
Really good start. And Caballé is on form, and yeah, they look good pretty much all over the pitch. I'm going to have to go for 1-0 Palace, I'm afraid.
Palace, so. Well, I'll speak to you again. Rob, what do you reckon?
That's going to be really tough.
Head over heart,
really,
here, isn't
really
it?
Really tough game.
That is going to be tough.
They're good sides.
But we're good away from home this season, and we've got a good record at Palace.
Yeah.
We've got a good record at that ground.
Again, like most games, how you start, but especially there, that crowd, you know, if you can just keep them quiet for 20 minutes.
I just said, it's like West Ham have won all their away games pretty much apart from
Sunderland.
Yeah, and that was a good comeback there. But, I don't know, I think our run might come to an end. I think it'll be goals, though.
Yeah.
There's always goals in West Ham games at the moment. Palace go for it, but I'm going to go 2-1 Palace.
2-1 Palace.
That's the first time I've gone against us. But
I've got a feeling I reckon it's going to be the same as last time with Sunderland. I think we're going to probably go 1 or 2-0 down. I reckon we'll fight back and probably get a 2-2. I reckon it'll be a 2-2.
I think there will be goals.
There will be goals, definitely. This is you kicking things off, Rob, Everton, Man United.
Right.
Ooh. This is a bit of a funny one.
Do you know what? I think I fancy Everton for this.
Really?
I think this is Manchester revenge. United all that. I think they're decent, but I think they've still got problems. I think Lukaku might have a bit of a field day against Everton.
Really? Yeah. It's going to be a funny game, that.
I'm going to go 2-1 to Everton.
2-1 Everton. I'm a bit stuck with this because I've not been really sold on Everton this season so far. Again, they didn't really have a great season last time. They're all right. They seem to have picked up a little bit recently, but I'm still not sold on them. Man United, it depends who shows up with them. If they're on fire, they'll win this. If they don't show up, they'll get hammered.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a draw. I think it's going to be 1-1.
Well, I've never bet against United so far, and I don't see much reason to do this time. I mean, Everton, you never know, last season it was 3-0, but I think Martial, he's due a goal. He hasn't scored the last couple of games, so I think 3-2 United.
3-2,
I've actually got a dilemma there as well, whether to pick Martial or Lukaku for my dream team.
That's
my problem this week.
Well, it's a big problem, isn't it? I'm quite impressed with that Martial. He looks all right,
really,
you know?
Good.
And I was slagging him off a few weeks ago. He looks all right.
I knew he was. I hadn't seen much of him before.
I didn't know anything about him, really, to be honest. Yeah. But, I mean, it's not just the fact that he scores goals, but his movement and just when he's got the ball.
He looks class.
He looks class.
And once he gets adapted to this league, and I know he started well, but once he completely understands it
And he has that. I know people made the Henry comparison a lot, but he has that thing where, when he's running, he kind of drifts with the ball. You know, he's like.
I mean, the first goal he scored.
What
would
be interesting is if he does go on a run where he doesn't score a goal for a while. I know he's only gone 2 games, but he goes 3 or 4. They can't really leave him out, really, because they haven't got anyone else come in.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Oh, well,
Man City, Bournemouth. This is me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. I think it's going to be a hammering for Bournemouth again. I think it's going to be another. Drubbing.
Another drubbing. What else have they been drubbed?
Well, haven't they been turned over already this season?
I don't think they've lost heavily.
I think Man City have given a couple out, but
I mean, obviously they're 6-1 over Newcastle. I can't see it, but I think it's going to be a similar score. I think it's going to be 5-0 to Man City. I just can't see.
I think you're on the right lines. I don't think it's going to be as bad as that though. 3-0.
You go 3, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you two notice. I thought I'd let you make your predictions first there, but Aguero's out for a while.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Injured.
Month out.
Right, so Bonny has
but they've got lots of goal scorers.
Good player. But, you know, he hasn't exactly set the world alight there, although he hasn't had the chances. And Silva is out as well. But I still can't
see. Hat-trick by Delf.
I still can't see Bournemouth getting anything. But I think it'll be 2-0.
You're in 2-0, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Zachary?
This is a really tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah, Southampton, Leicester.
I mean, Leicester are flying as well, and Southampton seem to be getting some of their form back, especially with that win against Chelsea. So I think on the basis of Southampton's win at Stamford Bridge, they're going to be on form, and I think they're going to win 2-1.
What do you reckon, Rob? It's quite a tough one.
It's a tough one, so I'm going to go draw because of really.
Yeah, I'm the same. What sort of draw are you thinking?
Southampton still have better players. They're a really good side.
And Leicester, they're really surprising everyone. How the hell are they doing so well?
They've been superb, haven't they?
I thought they were going to go down. You know, when Ranieri took over, I wasn't convinced at all.
I was really critical about Vardy coming in the England squad at the end of last season. I was like enraged by it because he had 4 goals in like 30 odd games. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
I know he had a few injuries. And then, but you see him this season.
Scored in his last five Premier League games, isn't he?
But he looks superb, doesn't he? Even when he came for England the other day, I know it's only Estonia, but he's so lively.
And I think he's got rid of that stupid haircut as well. He's got some normal hair now. So.
Well, I'm not saying he's a world beater, ever going to be, but I love the guy. He's come from Norway.
But he chases every ball, doesn't he? He chases defenders down. Yeah. He just makes mistakes happen. Yeah. He makes them create mistakes. He's a good player.
So, I mean, they've got a few players, Leicester.
He'll score their goal, I think.
Well, I'll go 1-1 for that.
You know, 1-1. I've got a feeling Southampton are going to beat Leicester. I think it's going to come to me because although they haven't had the best start at Southampton, I still think they'll be all right this season. And I can't surely Manny can't, is a handful, can't carry on surely this with Leicester. It can't keep carrying on. It's got to at some point come to an end. I think it's going to be 2-0 to Southampton. I think they'll be brought back down to earth a little bit. Last game is West Brom Sunderland. Obviously Allardyce's first game, and this is you, Rob, starting.
Pulis versus Allardyce. There's not going to be a lot of goals in this, is there?
Christ.
I think this is a start, though.
That is not going to be a match of the day game, is it?
West Brom are struggling, aren't they, a bit? But,
they are. But it's bizarre.
They have got Berahino in their ranks, so you think, you know, they've got goals in their side.
And attitude.
I think Big Sam will come straight in there.
They get the euphoria, the first game euphoria. The players want to play.
1-0 away win.
1-0, really? Slimey, imagine that. I think it's going to be a draw. I'm going to go with 2-2 for this.
I think you're being very ambitious in the goals.
I was going to say, there's nothing in there.
I agree with Rob. I think there won't be many goals, and I don't think there's going to be any goals. I think it's going to be 0-0.
0-0, yeah. Okay. Exciting stuff. so what we're going to do then, next week, we'll be reconvening and doing another show next week. And we'll get it out for next Saturday.
As usual.
But this show is going to be going out sort of Monday.
Next week, we've got Robin Van Persie on the show.
And the Pope.
The Pope.
Live on there. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week for another episode.
Booyah!
See ya.
Yeah.
Bye.